do. You know, you take a spring break trip with me, it's excitement, baby. Let me tell you, you might get to just watch a bus burn on the road. You know, you go with me to the state fair, you might get to be in a little mini tornado thing and destroy the tent that the Baptist convention owns. You might get to do that kind of stuff. That's a lot of fun. Just kind of tear it, you know. So I'm going to do a lot of fun things. There's probably a few other things too in there. But it was neat seeing those pictures too, because you could, I could get a sense of, why we're doing what we're doing to invest our lives in students and you guys. So it's a great privilege. And we're going to keep doing that. It kind of feels weird, like it's this celebration of Derek or Julie or something, you know, all that stuff, tribute. But I'm hope to keep writing songs, you know, and not real songs, but in people's lives. And so, you know, it's fun seeing Aaron Gillum in there. One of those pictures, you know, you notice I had him trapped against the wall. That's a principle you might learn. You want to talk to somebody, you trap him against the wall and you tell him a few things. And so Erin's out writing a few of her own songs, right? Out there with Neil. I'm going to talk about developing godly convictions. One other thing I want to do before we start is, this has nothing to do with godly convictions, by the way. You know, we've been praying for must trust. And we've been praying for like a whole lot of must trust. We've been trusting for a lot. We've been praying. And it looked, you know, we just weren't sure what God might do. Sometimes you think, man, can He really do that? Now, what's must trust at right now? Zero. Now, a week ago, it was a lot more than that. So here's what we want to do. We're going to stop and we're going to thank God. Because there's a lot of people going that God just provided for that we had no idea if He was going to provide or not, and we asked Him and He has. So let's pray. Father, we really want to humbly come before You and just acknowledge that this has really been an amazing thing that we've prayed for and seen You do. And Father, You've provided a lot of money for a lot of us to go. And we want to acknowledge that You have provided that. And Father, it was not, we didn't take it for granted. And we don't want to ever do that in years to come. But God, You have provided some amazing things over the years for students to go to Glen Eyrie and now to Glorieta. And God, we acknowledge that You are our provider. That, Father, we recognize that because You've provided this, there is something You want to do in our hearts and our lives while we're there. And so I do ask that You'd help us all to go into this trip with a seriousness, to look to what You have to say to us and for You to change us. And, Father, not to take this flippantly or just with an idea of we just want to go have fun spring break and nothing else. But God, because of what You've provided, we want to be responsible and good stewards of that with our time and with our hearts and our minds on this trip. And God, we thank You that You've given us a privilege to be able to go and to hear some guys speak and just to get away for You to speak to us. And I pray You do that. In the name of Jesus, we ask this and thank You. Amen. Okay, developing godly convictions. I may think of something else along the way, and I'll just kind of put a little parentheses in there. I like to do that sometimes. First of all, when I say convictions, what do you guys think of? I say developing godly convictions. What am I talking about there with convictions? Or what do you say? What kind of things does that make you think? You can talk back to me and talk real loud, and you can interrupt any time while I'm talking, by the way. What are we talking about? Convictions. What does that make you think of? I can't hear that good. Aaron said a strong belief, okay? Strong belief. Somebody else. What's a conviction? Or what are we going to talk about? Standard, something we hold to, principle we hold to. What else? When someone says, you know, do you have any convictions in this area or something, what are some things they're talking about? What we feel is right and wrong. Okay. Anything else? Huh? I couldn't hear. Somebody tell me what he said. Dedication. Okay. Dedication. Any other thoughts on that? Living in God's will. Is that what I heard? Okay. Any specific things that come up when people talk about that? Movies. Okay. Anything like no movies or rated R movies or movies in general or movies you should watch? Huh? Clothing. Anybody else want to throw anything out there? Music. Drugs. Okay. Well, okay. That's right. A lot of those things come up. I don't know, you know, some of those things maybe you wouldn't throw in the area of convictions. Just right and wrong. But yeah, someone said, you know, a conviction's a strong belief. And that's what it is, a strong persuasion or belief. The state of being convinced is the truth of something. We're going to get to that in a second. But how about some people of conviction? You know, who are some people that might come to your mind? I'm going to throw a couple up here. You'll have to keep hitting the mouse. Can anybody see that? Who's that? That's Cassie Bernal. So some people would say she was a woman of real conviction, right? What'd she say? Yeah. She believes, you know, with a gun to her head, do you believe in God? There's different stories, but yes, I believe. And that was it. So is that a woman of conviction? How about this next one? Who's that? Now there's a man of conviction, yeah. He has some strong beliefs. He had some convictions that have turned the world upside down. So I'm kind of thinking, you know, I read through Acts and I see Paul. We might say he had some convictions about things. And him and the guys following him and others, they were turning the world upside down. You know, and now, this guy's turning the world upside down. So convictions can really motivate you to something. There's another guy that had some convictions. We're going to show a little video clip here. And named Eric Little. And you can watch in this clip. Get this light thing figured out. Okay. Well, there is Eric Little. And that was a great movie, by the way. And you can see he was challenged on some convictions. We'd say he was a man of conviction. He gave his life to go to China. Died there. Okay, go ahead to the next slide there. So there's some examples of some people we'd say, hey, these might be people of conviction. And we went over this conviction, you know, state of being convinced is of the truth of belief. That's a nice dictionary definition. Suggest of being convinced because of satisfactory reasons. So you're convinced of something for good reasons or proof. And sometimes it implies an earlier doubt. You weren't sure about it. Go ahead and leave that up for a minute. So what I want to do is, I don't want to try to stay too, you know, with the dictionary stuff, but look at I want to talk about a few things. How do we develop these things? We know we can throw out categories and we know what a conviction is, but How do we go about developing those kind of things? And I found this to be really challenging because it's not something I can just do. I can't talk and make you develop godly convictions. There's nothing I can do. We sang one song there, and I thought, man, maybe we just ought to do that, and that ought to be enough if you'll go do it. Turn your eyes on Jesus, look full in His wonderful face. The things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of His glory. There you go, right there. That's all you got to do. So my talk could be over. Turn your eyes on Jesus, and the things of earth will grow dim. There you go. But it's not always that easy. So what I want to try to do is figure out how can, as you're here at the BSU, and you learn stuff, you develop skills, but how can you take those and the beliefs you have here and things and make sure that it's not just stuff that's tacked on or stuck on you with sticky notes, but it's really something inside, something that is a strong conviction of your life that it's going to let you be able to live your life out. I was trying to find one thing I'd written in my notes here. I can't find it there. But it allows you to live your life for what's right and for the purpose of honoring and glorifying God. You know, so when we sing the song, that other song, Unto the King Eternal, you know, all glory and honor forever to You, O Lord. And we sing that and mean it, but how can we develop the conviction so that 20 years from now, we're still meaning that and doing it? So it's kind of like connecting our beliefs with our behavior. And how do you do that over the long haul? And I want to try to give you some help on that. It's kind of hard to answer a little bit. It's easy and it's hard. The one story about that is, when I was a student here, a sophomore, I was on DT, discipleship team. And leader of my discipleship team was a tremendous guy. We met with him. We learned stuff together. We went over the Word together. We talked about convictions. I was watching him. He was dating a girl. He was dating her right. It was right. He even had a conviction he wasn't going to kiss her until he got married. And he didn't. And they got married. And I think I've told you this before. That kiss, time froze, because of this conviction he'd had and honoring her. And this time stood still. And it lasted forever. I mean, they loved each other, and he was committed to her. That was a conviction he had. Well, then, just a few years later, we get word that, he's had an affair, and he divorces her. And, that kind of shook me up a little bit. What is going on? What could happen? How did that happen? And so the thing I wanted to think about is how can, a lot of you are here and you mean the things you're saying and you're learning skills and you mean those songs, I hope. But yet, 20 years from now, how can we ensure, I can't, but how are you going to know you're still going to be doing that? How can you develop the convictions to know that you're going to be living those things out? Go ahead to the next slide there, Brandon. Paul had some convictions. He said this in 1 Timothy 1:12, "For this reason I also suffer these things. But I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted him until that day." So I was thinking, how did Paul get convinced that God was able to guard what he'd entrusted to him? And there's other guys that could say that. We could look at other stories from the Word of people of conviction. You think of Paul. You think of the apostles. And at first, you wondered about their conviction. I was reading through Matthew this morning and got to this little phrase, "And the disciples left him and fled." Took off. They left Jesus. Fled. But then later, I mean, you know about the apostles, and they had some real convictions, you know, and some things, what happened there. Or I think of over in Hebrews, Hebrews 11. I'll be there in 1 second. Listen to these. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with a sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. So we don't even know their names. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had some convictions. And they said, well, Nebuchadnezzar, we don't even need to answer you in this. The God we serve, He's able to deliver us from the furnace. And, well, even if He doesn't, we're still not going to bow down. And, you know, one thing I thought about there is, if you want to be a person of conviction, sometimes it's kind of dangerous. You want to have godly convictions. You know, these that got sawn into and stoned and tempted, doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be safe. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they didn't necessarily know if they're going to survive it. They just knew, we're going to serve this God, the true God. So having convictions isn't always safe. But one thing I want to give you to some principles that there's kind of these two aspects of convictions that came out. There's kind of this one area, like with movies or clothing or music. Sometimes we'll call it, personal convictions. Sometimes we like to throw things in there that don't really belong there, but it lets us do things we still really want to do. But some principles to help guide you on that. And then I want to talk about this broader thing of convictions, about these strong beliefs that are going to help you live out the rest of your life the way you probably imagine you'd like to be living it out. So let's go to the next slide. Here's the first one. The principle of mastery. And I borrowed this from, I didn't make all these up myself. 1 Corinthians 6:12. I'm not going to read all these verses, but in this area, you know, you can ask yourself some questions about whatever area this is. Does this bring bondage? Is this something that might have mastery over me? Does it exert power over me? And so as you think about that, if there's some certain area, ask those questions. If this is having mastery over me, I can only serve one master. And so a good question to ask under that mastery there is, whether it's music. I got rid of a bunch of music when I was a sophomore. I hated to do it. You know, I had all these secular tapes, and stuff. We didn't have CDs then. And the Holy Spirit was working on me in the area of holiness. Am I serious about being holy? Or do I just say that? And you reap what you sow. So I say, well, all these things I'm putting in my mind, maybe I need to get rid of this music. Man, that was tough. So I put it in a bag first and just kind of kept it in the bag. I didn't really get rid of it. I still kept it there. And the thought of having to throw that away was, and I don't know what I could say it had mastery over me, but at the same time, it's sure hard to unload some tapes. So it was a good thing to be able to do that. And there's other things like that. Ask those questions. Another principle is the principle of love. Does this hurt someone? Or could this cause somebody to stumble? At the end, I've got a slide on Galatians 5:13. A lot of times freedom comes up in this area and we talk about convictions. Well, we've got freedom. Galatians 5:13 says, For you are called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. And it's like the whole context of this freedom, you're free now to just love and serve. It was other people. It wasn't even freedom for them. It was freedom to love and serve one another. So if there's something you might be doing or an area that you wonder if it's a conviction and you know you need to have that, well, could that cause somebody to stumble? So Paul talked about, you know, if I'm going to, I mean, it's okay to eat meat. If I'm going to eat meat here and it's going to cause somebody to stumble, I won't do it. And it was easy. He was free. Okay, another one. What's your testimony? Could this hinder the gospel? So that's pretty self-explanatory. But just think about some areas. If people see me doing this, or if it were known I was involved in this kind of stuff, could that hinder the gospel in some way? Could it hinder my testimony? And another, next one. Edification. Does this benefit me? Is it really helpful physically, spiritually, or mentally? You know, does it really help me? And so there's lots of things, just little things that might come into that area, whether it's, you know, music again, movies. There's lots of movies I've wanted to see, and I just thought, you know, this is really not going to be very edifying. I won't do it. Well, go on to the next one there, Brandon. Example. That's kind of like testimony a little bit and stuff, but is this worth imitating? Is it worth imitating? Could I ask someone to follow my example? We were going over this in a ministry team one time, and you know, a guy said, well, you would like to go out and smoke cigars, but we go out in our car and kind of get away and hide and do it. And so I was like, now, why are you having to like go hide so nobody sees you if it's really okay to do it? Is it maybe because you really don't, you wouldn't ask people to follow your example? Or why do you have to do it hiding? Huh. Okay. They never invited those freshmen with them to go do that. So is it something you'd ask, hey, you'd feel free to ask somebody to imitate you in what you're doing? And then the last one, number six, honor. Does it glorify God? All glory and honor forever to you, O Lord. You know, do you mean that? And in every area of your life, can you say, yeah, everything I'm doing, I've put it under scrutiny. And this is where it gets tricky now, because we know some of these things. I mean, we hear these stuff all the time, you know. You need to live your lives to be holy. So, well, okay. But then connecting that with all our behavior. You know, how do we go about doing that? And that's kind of the thing that I was thinking about talking. I think about doing, you know, trying to do this. You know this stuff, but, you know, applying it so that it connects with all your life for the rest of your life. How does that happen? And that's where some of this, you know, there's some things I can try to give to help you, and some of it I'll try. I don't know. But some of it's going to come down to this. On this next slide. Well, I was thinking of one other slide. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all your behavior. So we know that. A lot of you memorize that verse. But how do we connect that with all these areas of our lives so that we really are living holy? So we say those things, but there's people all over the place that don't want to be Christians because they watch how Christians live and it wasn't holy, and so they're like, I don't want to do that. So this next verse, James 1, 22 and 25. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. The one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed. So, you know, in one sense, I just have to say, you know, this is like the Sunday school answer. Well, you just got to do it. But some of it really comes down to that in practice. you know some of these things, but then making the decision, do I really mean all glory and honor, you know, forever unto you? Or do I feel good when I sing that there, but right now? No, it comes down to making this choice. So that's one easy thing. Well, this is kind of a multimedia circus night. I tried to do some different things, so it's sort of be kind of a circus. We're going to try another video down here. There's one way to, before you start that, Brandon, another way to develop some godly convictions is, sometimes people say it, learning the hard way. But let me turn this light off and we'll watch this. Heard a guy named Ralph Naber on a tape say this one time, experience is still the best teacher, but sometimes the price is too high. Now, you could end up developing some convictions about things because you've learned the hard way. You learn by experience. But there's a lot of things you really don't want to have to go there. You just don't want to have to go there on some things. So you can just think, well, you know, I'll figure it out. You know, if it doesn't work real well, I'll learn. And I can tell you from experience on some things you can ask me about later if you'd like, that sometimes the price is just really, really high. And it gets tough. And so you make some decisions now that a guy talked about in one of the earlier Vespers, you know, there's some of those lies Satan tells us. Well, you can choose to believe those and try it out, and then I'm telling you what, you want to start trying to walk with God later on in life, and it hurts. It's tough. It's hard. So experience is still the best teacher, but sometimes the price is just too high. So there's some other ways. And here's what I want to get into on how to develop some godly convictions. Go ahead to the next one there. You can't see that picture very well, but there's a guy with an anvil and a big hammer. And I found this quote in some notes I had, convictions that give you confidence. And he said this, convictions are hammered out on the anvil of experience in laborious encounter with the Creator. And one of the first things, you want to develop godly convictions. We're going to try another scene here in a minute. You won't see all of it, but you do have to get the right information. You got to develop the right kind of worldview, the biblical worldview. It only comes through the Word. And you've got to do everything you can to know Jesus. And so, that's it. You got to be in the Word. That's pretty easy. I mean, you really got to be in it. If you really don't want to keep reading your Bible and having quiet times 20 years from now, then just forget it. You know, you can go ahead and you can go do something else. Go watch basketball tonight or something, because it won't happen. And you got to just do everything you can to know Jesus. And go ahead and make some decisions. All I can do is tell you to do it. It's exciting. Don't go watch some movies sometime and know Jesus. I was thinking about people of conviction, you know, and some things about them. So I was thinking, you know, people that have convictions aren't lazy. You know, I mean, they're people of action. They're doing stuff. So, you know, I was thinking, if you're watching more than 2 movies a week or something, you might want to think through some of the convictions you have. Or if you're spending more than a couple hours a week on the Xbox or PlayStation 2 or something, you might think about it. You know, some things like that. If you just end up with a lot of time on your hands and just don't know what to do, you might think about some of the convictions you have and some stuff like that. Put up the next slide. Okay, Hosea 13:6. This is a great verse. As they had their pasture, they became satisfied. And being satisfied, their heart became proud. Therefore, they forgot me. Now, if you want to forget God 20 years down the road or so, 10, 3 maybe, go ahead and give yourself to something that's really not any bigger than yourself. Or maybe just a little bit bigger, but not much. If you really want to, just give yourself to that. You'll be satisfied. And, you have your pastor. You can get proud and forget God. So, just give yourself to something that's just not much bigger than yourself. I thought, I was watching some of the Olympics, and here's Michelle Kwan. She devoted 4 years to the gold medal. And, and she didn't get it. And it's just crushed. I just thought, is there anything bigger than that? Or Eric Little. That's a great movie, Chariots of Fire. If you haven't ever seen Chariots of Fire, it probably was made before some of you were born. But you got to watch it. Eric Little, he's going to try to set something up here. We're not going to watch that yet. Forget what he's doing. I told you it was Multimedia Circus. Eric Little, he wanted to be a missionary, and his sister was getting on to him. How can you go run in the Olympics? We got to go to China. And he said, God made me to run, and made me to run fast. And when I run, I feel His pleasure. And he goes to the Olympics, and he finds out, this race he wanted to run is on Sunday. So he's not going to do it. And he was giving himself to something bigger than the Olympics. Now, there's another character in that story that gave himself to the gold medal and won it, and it was just empty. It was nothing. And so there's something bigger that you want to give yourself to. There's something big that you can't even accomplish in this life totally, but, like making disciples of all nations, seeing God, glorified among all the nations of the earth, and however you can be a part of doing that. Now, that's something big you can give your life to. And you may not see it all happen, that's part of what's been moving Julie and I. And it's only taken us to Arizona right now. Hadn't taken us overseas or anything. But, I want to be part of something bigger than, me or making $1 million or writing a book. Those things probably won't ever happen. But among you might give yourself to something bigger. If not, then just go ahead and try to find your pasture and get satisfied, and you can be proud about that and forget God. So here's one thing you need to have. If you want to develop godly convictions, get the right world. You give yourself to time in the Word for the rest of your life, not just while you're at OU. That's one of those things a lot of times students get tacked on to them. Quiet time, something you do while you're here at OU or USC. But, then you leave and, maybe you'll keep it, maybe you won't. Or you work a lot of hours. It's tough. It's just hard to be in the Word much. And you gotta, that's one thing, the right worldview and the end that you're living for. Now there's another one. Now this next video clip, if it works, it's from The Matrix, but the sound thing's not working. So if you remember any of the soundtrack or something, you can just yell out what they're saying. It's a circus. We'll see if this works. Okay, there's downloading the right information. I know Kung Fu. Show me. It's not the same without the sound, is it? Somebody can give the sound effects. Okay, because that's great. Okay, now it froze. We'll see how far this works. It may be too much of a circus. That's not one of the better acting scenes that Keanu Reeves ever done. But it was funny. Okay, so now he's trying to show what he's learned, and he's got this guy. Oh, he's a little better than he is. He hadn't totally connected all the beliefs and the behavior yet. But he's trying. He's working it out. Oh, he's still trying to get there. Now, this is beautiful. He's like, oh, this is great. Adaptation. I've got him. Oh. How did I beat you? Oh, no. Man. Go ahead and stop it, Brandon. That's a little too... There's a little bit more, but... It's just not the same without the sound, isn't it? It's a little too funny. Okay, what in the world did I show that for? It's because I really like to pick on Keanu Reeves. That's why I showed that. Another thing you're going to have, not just in college when you get out, is like a mentor, somebody discipling you that's got that big, got this bigger story that they're wanting to be involved in with the end in view, and they've got the right worldview biblically, and you're watching them to figure out, how am I going to live this out later in life? You're looking at somebody 10 or 20 years along. How are they doing it? You know, so at USC, you know, you guys got Neil and some other guys. You got Jeep. And you got to have that, and not just when you're at college. So what comes into play here is, it really is a big decision when you leave college, where are you going to go? And if you end up going to some place where there's really not anybody else there that you know of that can help you, or you can't find anybody pretty soon that's living that out, you might be in jeopardy. You might see slowly, you kind of start not living out quite what you really wanted to be living out. So you got to have some mentors, you know, and that's why I showed that, because old Morpheus there is—he's teaching Neo how to connect his beliefs and his behavior, you know, in this new world he's in, you know, and he'd do something. Now that doesn't mean your mentor's always like beating you up. They may sometimes, you know, there might be a few times you need a little kick in the chest or something out, but. But that's really few and far between. But he was teaching him. How did I beat you? What was going on there? What decision could you make here, you know, in your young life? This person's asking you. So you gotta have this worldview in mind, this biblical worldview, and be giving yourself to something bigger. And have that in mind. And then you already know the things in the Word, or you're learning them. You know, it's just now connecting them and doing them. So you have that, and you keep doing that. Get a mentor. And then, don't put the next slide up yet, but the last thing is just make sure you're around a group of people, a community that is heading that same direction. That you got to have that too, to keep developing it. There's a book I read that describes some of that kind of stuff called The Fabric of Faithfulness. That it's kind of a good book, but it gets a little academic for what I like to read. And he uses big words and stuff like that. So, you know, I'll just try to make some of that simple. But in developing these convictions, if you're not in the Word, or if you're not going to stay in the Word, just forget it. Go make $1 million and play Xbox. I mean, there's nothing bigger than that anyway. But if you're going to stay in, you got to stay in the Word and know it. And memorize Scripture. I thought that scene where they, you know, they plug Neo in, I just thought, Scripture memory. Wouldn't it be great if it's like that? But That's when that one thing I put up where it said laborious. You know, sometimes scripture memory, it's like, oh, I just got to keep doing it. Well, you know what? You just better keep it up. And if someday they figure out a way to plug it in, then praise God. But it's still not going to do a whole lot of good apart from other things. You know, you can memorize the whole Bible, and it is not going to do that much good. So, and you got to you just got to start making the choice. I'm gonna do this, and it's hard sometimes. I was telling Brian Zuniga today. I remember a time we're in a house in Boulder, and the oven wasn't working, and you turn it on and nothing. So, being the industrious genius guy I am, I was an engineer. I took out the little knob and little thermostat deal, and I was going to say, we'll fix it. And took the back off, and all these little ball-bearing things just kind of springing shot out, and there's this little spring thing in there, you know, that wouldn't quite go back the right way. And so I said, oops, and put it back together, stuck it in, and still wasn't working, surprise. So I called the landlord and said, hey, this oven's not working, you know. It wasn't working before, so I didn't feel real bad saying it wasn't working now, because it, you know. And the guy came out and was messing around, and it's like, oh, hell yeah, this little box thing's broke. And then, so we fixed it, you know, and I saw this bill for the landlord, you know, and it wasn't a really cheap little deal. So the landlord was out there, you know, paid the guy. And now, here's the moment, okay? You know, I just say, hey, thanks for taking care of that. The landlord leaves. It's beautiful. Or I can say, you know, I learned what the problem was, why it didn't work, is because the timer always had to be turned on some kind of time thing so that the thermostat would work. The thing I messed with didn't have anything to do with that. We're there talking, and my throat's kind of drying up. You know, I can say, hey, I took this thing out, and I broke it. I messed it up, so I got to pay for it. I mean, that'd be, you know. So I had to tell him that. So I had a choice right there, and no one would ever know. But you got to make some choices along these places, you know. All glory and honor. Forever unto you, O Lord. You know, we learn hard attitudes and things, but you can learn them, and, you know, so what? You got to do them. And so I did that, you know. Well, you know, I broke that, and probably that's why we had to replace it, and so we'll need to take care of that. And so I had to do that. When it comes down to developing these godly convictions, those are some things you got to have. We know some of these things. There's one, this last verse I already told you, but I'll put it up there again. You know, sometimes in some areas of convictions, we think, hey, we're free. Well, I see the freedom here in terms of actually through love serving one another. We're free now. We don't have to serve ourselves. You're free. Does anybody have any questions or comments? And I'll make sure I didn't leave out something that was just vitally desperate. Does anybody got any comments or questions or critiques? I could keep talking. And this is a little bit of a hard thing because I'm talking about something that is really going to be played out years from now. So, but right now you're developing these things. You need to be giving yourself to knowing Jesus and being in the Word and being around the right people and having somebody you're looking to follow. And Landon Norton's been great. He's going to be getting married, you know, to Amanda. And he's just asking me all these questions about all these things because he's trying to figure out he finds this verse in the Bible and he's like, well, how did you practically apply that? You know? And sometimes, you know, and sometimes I'll be like, here's how you do that, Lynn. But he's trying, how do I live this out? You know, how do I live this out? How am I going to do this 10 years from now? Show me. You got to have somebody that's doing that. So be looking for somebody like that. Beverly, did you have a question? And you just don't want to do it. Well, does anybody have any thoughts on that? Anybody done anything? I can give you some answers. Well, there's a couple things. One thing is you got to be around some other people that want to do it too, you know. And we talk about accountability or something, you know. It's like, Beverly, you don't want to get up in the morning, and, you know, Lissette will. So it's like, Lissette? Maybe the other way around, I don't know. But Lissette, I want to be up at 4:30 so I can pray for an hour and read my Bible for an hour. And, you know, Lissette, you roll her out of bed, you know. And so there's that. And that's where I say some of this is just hard. You just face a choice. You know, are you always going to feel like it? No, you're not going to feel like it. And so there's issues of, you know, self-control, and that's why this is kind of hard, because I can't make all of you do those things. So you have to begin to decide, you know, do I mean these things I'm singing? So you try anything you can, you know. The other thing is, you know, are you going to do everything perfectly? No. But, you know, the righteous man will fall down. He'll get back up. And he'll keep doing it. And he'll keep doing it. And he'll keep doing it. And so, there's that sense too, where you, over time, I mean, there's a determination to keep living these things out and having people around you that'll help you. And sometimes, Beverly, you need this guy when you know you're doing something and he just goes, you know. I mean, sometimes that's what it's going to take. You just let somebody have it. So, and one time a friend of mine, we were playing football and he'd been doing a few things and letting his attitude get a little carried away and something. So, you know, I just had to tell him, you know, your attitude was rotten. Just kind of, you know, like that. And he didn't like it. And later he's like, gosh, thanks for doing that, because I needed that. Because, man, I was out there. I didn't feel like doing anything right. So that's where you got to have these other people that are committed to doing this with you. And it's got to be past your time here in college. It's got to be extend past then. So you got to make some wise decisions about where you're going to end up. Anybody else have a question around the tip of your tongue? Okay, well, I'm going to sit down.